The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
So we're starting in chapter 4, verse 20, when the Apostle Paul is sharing about Abraham and how he fully trusted the promise that God gave him all the way back in the book of Genesis. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice also in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one person will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Anybody awake out there after getting that hour stolen from us last night? A rude awakening. Although I have learned since having small kids that they don't exactly observe those time changes. So in the fall, whenever, you know, everybody thinks they get an extra hour, parents of young kids really don't. So maybe this time was actually better for some of you. But good morning. My name's Grant. I'm one of the pastors here at Life Connection, and I'm excited that you've joined us for this first week in our series on the cross and forgiveness. Our hope for this series as we approach Easter is that we will gain a deeper understanding of the work of Jesus on the cross and how the forgiveness that we can receive from God transforms our everyday lives. Today we'll look at Romans 5, 1 through 11, and consider how we can receive forgiveness from God. A common question that many people ask is, how can God be just and the justifier of the ungodly? How can God be a perfect judge, yet pardon wicked sinners like us? We learn early in the Bible story that our sin, our disobedience to God, separates us from him. An important word to understand that we'll consider this morning is justification. It means to be declared righteous. Imagine a courtroom when the judge gives the verdict, not guilty, and the person walks out totally cleared of all charges. Our problem is that we know deep down that in God's courtroom that we wouldn't receive that verdict. We know that we are rightfully guilty because we have all fallen short of God's standard of perfection. We also know that God is that perfect judge who does what is right and fair. This begs the question for us, how can sinners like us be forgiven? Is there hope for us? Our passage today in Romans 5 will help us see the answer to these questions. Justification and its implications are the central themes. Justification is very closely related with the idea of forgiveness. If we are justified and declared righteous, then we are forgiven. The truth that we'll see this morning is that Christ died for us so that we can receive forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, you are gracious and merciful to us. Thank you for loving us even though we are unworthy. Thank you for displaying your love through the cross. Help us to understand your word this morning and help me to speak clearly from it. Holy Spirit, bring conviction and help us to see the glory of Christ. We pray for other churches in our city meeting right now. God, that this good news about Jesus would be proclaimed mightily and that you would transform our city by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, we see in verses 6 through 8 that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Let's read 6 through 8 again. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. These verses show us how God is so different from us. If you think about laying down your life for someone else, you don't think, I'll go sacrifice myself for the worst of the worst, the person who has rebelled against me, the person who has gone against everything wonderful and good that I've given to them, the person who is a murderer, adulterer, idolater, liar, thief. That's the person I'm going to lay myself down for so that they can live. No one does that. Maybe in some extreme situations, a man or woman will lay down their life for another, but in that case, it's typically someone that they have a deep connection with and care for, that they desire that person to have a future. Jesus came for us when we were at the bottom, without hope and without regard for him. He came when we were sinners deserving of God's punishment. Verse 6 says, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 10 goes so far as to say that we were enemies of God. Who willingly lays down their life for their enemies so that they can have life? According to these verses, Jesus did. In God's sovereign plan of salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ was where he chose to reveal the depth of his love for humanity. A few chapters earlier in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, in chapter 3:23, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every single one of us, if we are honest with ourselves, make mistakes and fail to live up to God's standard of perfection. In God's courtroom, it isn't a matter of outweighing our bad deeds with our good deeds. God isn't grading on a curve. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." How is that fair? James is telling us that even if we keep the entire law and slip up at one point, that we're guilty. We need to remember who God is. He is holy. He is perfect. He is totally and completely pure. So any impurity, any sin, separates us from him and puts us under his righteous judgment. If we truly examine ourselves, we know that we don't measure up. We know our hearts and the depths of our own sin, even if no one else knows about it. John Newton was the writer of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. He was a former captain of a slave ship before being converted to Christianity and eventually totally renounced the slave trade and worked to abolish it in Great Britain. He published a pamphlet detailing horrific aspects of the slave trade and his own complicity in it, treating African human beings made in God's image so despicably. He wrote, "I hope it will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders." Clearly, John Newton saw the seriousness of his own sin, yet he also saw the magnitude of God's grace as he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." On his deathbed, Newton said, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." To fully grasp the depths of God's love for us, we must recognize ourselves as sinners in need of him. Christ died for us while we were sinners. Have you ever had the thought, if people could see into my thoughts and see the real me, then they would reject me? Do you worry that when you get close to others in relationships and they begin to get to know the real you with all your flaws, that you'll be rejected? The terrifying thing about God is that he does know every single thought and every wrong thing that we've ever done. Yet, the incredible news for us this morning is that God sees the depths of our hearts and he loves us still. He knows every sin you have ever or will ever commit, yet he sent his son Jesus to rescue sinners like you and me. We can be forgiven because Jesus died as a substitute in our place. God doesn't just decide to forget our sin when we come to faith in Christ. God poured out his full wrath and punishment for our sin onto Jesus so that we could be justified, declared righteous, and forgiven. Jesus paid our debt in full. He took the punishment that we deserved. Colossians 3:13 and 14 says, "And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Jesus bore the punishment that we deserved for our sin. Therefore, we do not need to be afraid of a God who sees us at our worst, because if we are in Christ, our debt is paid. Justification is a one-time event, and it is permanent. It is irreversible. We who were dead in our sin can be made alive and forgiven through the cross. Author Randy Alcorn says, "When Christ died on the cross for us, he said, 'It is finished.' The Greek word translated, 'It is finished,' was commonly written across certificates of debt when they were canceled. It meant paid in full. Christ died so that the certificate of debt consisting of all our sins could once and for all be marked paid in full. God had receipts for every bad thing that we've ever done or will do, and they were nailed through Jesus' hands on the cross. The cross is the very means by which we can be forgiven and restored to God. And through faith in Christ, we can receive that forgiveness. More than being forgiven of our sin, only we are also credited with the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The one who never knew any sin took our sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness so that we can be forgiven and seen as righteous in God's eyes. Christ died for us so that we can receive forgiveness. First, we saw that Christ died for us while we were sinners. Next, in verses 9 through 11, we see that we can receive forgiveness for eternity. Let's read 9 through 11. "Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Justification and forgiveness are very closely connected. You cannot have one without the other. If we are declared righteous, then God is not holding any sins against us. We are forgiven. As these verses describe, if we are in Christ, we have been justified by his blood. If you've been following along with the Old Testament Bible reading plan, over the last few weeks, we've been reading about the sacrificial system that God put in place for his people in the Old Testament. If someone committed a sin, there were specific processes to make sacrifices in order to be made right with God. This was to show God's people the seriousness of sin and their need for a Messiah. Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we no longer need to continually make those sacrifices to God. His blood is enough to permanently justify us. We are forgiven. Since believers in Jesus have been declared righteous, we have no fear of future punishment for our sin. More than that, we have joy and hope for a glorious future in eternity. Verse 9 says, "We shall be saved by him from the wrath of God." This reconciliation to God that we have experienced in Jesus makes us long for the day when he will return to make all things right. Think back to when you were a kid, or if you are a kid, you don't have to think very hard. Remember when you had done something wrong and there was a period of waiting until you got your punishment? For me, or more often it was my brothers who got caught doing bad things, we heard that infamous phrase, "Wait until your father gets home," because I have six brothers and sisters and sometimes keeping the house running was what my mom could do. That phrase, "wait until your father gets home," indicated to us that there was a real consequence coming for what we had done, and implying that the punishment for it was going to be serious. And that time period before when we heard that phrase said and when our punishment was actually delivered was never enjoyable, because we were living with that anticipation of that coming punishment, and it hung over us like an ominous cloud. For those listening today, maybe this is how you felt walking in the door this morning or logging into the live stream about your relationship to God. Maybe you've been living in a way, even this week, that you know is opposed to God, and you feel that weight of guilt like an ominous cloud hanging over you. For followers of Jesus, we have no need to live with fear or guilt hanging over us because Jesus dealt with our sin already. We can live a life transformed by God's grace, not to gain his approval, but because he already approves of us in Christ. Believers in Jesus, let's look forward to the return of our Savior in eternity with him. Our ultimate hope is not in this life, but in the life to come. Let's think on heaven and set our sights on that eternal hope. But what will heaven actually look like? Will we get wings and play harps in the clouds or other similar types of ideas that we see in our culture? In the second to last chapter in the Bible, John says in Revelation 21:1-4, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" In these verses, we see John describing heaven coming to earth. The picture that we see is of heaven and earth being reunited. The earth will be restored, made new, and God will dwell with his people, who will be bodily resurrected like Jesus. Even the very best things in this life are but a foretaste and shadow of what is in store for believers in heaven. Jesus is ransoming a people from every tribe and tongue on earth that will live together in perfect harmony forever. Let's help each other keep our eyes fixed on that glorious hope of eternity with our Maker and with one another in a renewed and perfect world. Christ died for us so that we can receive forgiveness. Christ died for us while we were sinners. We can receive forgiveness for eternity. And third, we can receive forgiveness now. Let's read 1-5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Righteousness has always been received through faith, even as chapter 4 tells us, going back to Abraham. We have been justified and have received forgiveness because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Verse 1 says, we have peace with God. If you have put your faith in Christ, you are truly forgiven of your sin. God isn't angry with you or waiting and watching for you to mess up. When he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his Son, and he is pleased. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. Because of this, we can live lives that are no longer paralyzed by guilt or fear, but are marked by joy. Three times in verse 2, 3, and 11, we see that word rejoice. We rejoice in hope of glory of God. We rejoice even in our sufferings because they grow us and shape us to be who God wants us to be. And the Holy Spirit is with us walking through them. We experience this forgiveness and justification through faith in Christ. But what is faith? A helpful example that has been used by many is to think of a chair. You can profess to believe that there is a chair in front of you. You might even think that the chair could hold you up, looks well built, and could support you. But until you sit down on that chair and put your weight on it, you haven't fully put your faith in that chair to hold you up. Similarly, we might say intellectually that we believe facts about Jesus. We might come to church, we might sing songs, and give a lot of external appearances. But until we have crossed that line of faith to actively put our weight on him, to rest and rely on him, we haven't yet experienced this justification and forgiveness. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. This tells us that it's possible to believe certain accurate facts about God like the demons do, but not in a saving way. Giving mental assent to agree with some truths is not saving faith, but saving faith is an act of trust, belief, and reliance on Christ alone for all of your salvation through his life and work on the cross. We are declared righteous and forgiven by faith. It's also important for us to continually be reminded that we are not made right with God by our effort or our good works. Galatians 2:16 says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Our default mode is to try better, try harder, and to do better, but there is nothing that we can do in our own strength to make ourselves right with God. We can't be good enough to gain God's favor. So whether this is the first Sunday that you've ever been to church or it's the thousandth, do you need to receive God's forgiveness today through faith? Perhaps you feel that weight of guilt hanging over you like a cloud, but you have never turned away from your sin and put your faith in Jesus to experience that forgiveness. If that's you, what's holding you back this morning from putting your faith in Christ? Is the Holy Spirit working in your heart to help you see the beauty and the wonder of the cross? If you have questions or would like to talk with someone further this week, we would encourage you to fill out that communication card and to let us know. We would love to be able to follow up with you this week. I like this quote from author Tim Keller. He says, the gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Friends, we don't have to wait until sometime way off in the future to experience forgiveness. We can receive forgiveness from God today. We don't have to be weighed down by the burden of falling short because Jesus was perfect for us. We don't have to clean ourselves up or make ourselves presentable to God. He knows the real us. If we are in Christ, these things are true of us today. We are justified, though we deserved a guilty verdict. We are forgiven, though we deserved punishment. We have peace, though we deserve to be enemies of God. We have access to God, though we deserved separation. We have joy, though we deserved sorrow. We have hope, though we deserved shame. And we are adopted, though we deserve to be orphans. Let's take hold of these truths and receive God's forgiveness through the cross. We can find true joy and contentment that lasts far beyond our current circumstances. Isn't this the kind of life that we all long for? No matter what difficulty you are walking through, you can rejoice in it through hope in Christ. We can be people of endurance, character, and hope through the power of the Holy Spirit as we walk through suffering in this life. A question for us to consider is, as we walk through difficulties in life, whose power do we tend to rely on? Are we constantly depending and relying on the Lord in times of difficulty, or do we try to handle it in our own strength? True freedom comes from receiving God's forgiveness and continually resting in Him day by day. Christ died for us so that we can receive forgiveness. So, back to that initial question, how can God be just and the justifier of the ungodly? The answer is found in Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who took on human flesh, lived a perfect life, and sacrificed Himself in our place on the cross so that we can be justified and forgiven. And He was raised 3 days later. He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. So how do we respond in light of this week? First, maybe we can invite someone to Easter. So is there one person in your life that you can be reaching out to and praying for over the next few weeks that needs to hear this gospel message about forgiveness in Christ? Invite them. Often many of our friends and neighbors, coworkers, may be more open to spiritual things or to coming to a church service on Easter than any other time of the year. So let's invite them, let's pray for them, let's be reaching out to our friends who need to hear this message as well. Secondly, maybe we need to receive God's forgiveness today ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, maybe this is for the first time by putting your faith in Christ and turning to Him. Or maybe you are a follower of Jesus and there is a sin in your life that you need to confess and repent of. Tell it to the Lord and receive true forgiveness through the cross. A song from one of my favorite bands, King's Kaleidoscope, says, "Jesus bought me, and now I am His. Dying with Him, in His death I now live. All my vices to which I was chained only speak the sweetness of my Savior's grace." Our sins remind us of the grace of God in Christ, and if we are in Him, we are no longer in bondage to that sin. Confess it, receive forgiveness through the cross, and live a transformed life by the power of the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit bringing a sin to mind for you this morning that you need to confess and repent of? We're about to enter a time in the service where we'll observe the Lord's Supper together. This is something that believers in Jesus are called to do together. And we take those small cups that may be around you. We peel back the top layer, which is the wafer, which represents Christ's body broken for us on the cross. And we eat that together. And peel back the next layer, which is the juice representing His blood shed for us. This reminds us of our union with Christ. He took our sin upon Himself, and He gave His righteousness to us. If you've not yet become a follower of Jesus, we would ask you not to participate in this morning, but to prayerfully consider what you've heard. Christ died for us so that we can receive forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word that You have given to us so that we can know You. We thank You for sending Jesus to rescue us so that through faith we can be saved. Through Your Spirit, help us see that we can truly be forgiven at the cross and experience the life-changing power of the gospel in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.